Blog Talk Radio.
Thank you, British lady, and welcome to Pop Culture Stars for 6. Look at the calendar, 6/8/22. Hope everybody's doing fantastic out there here in rainy, jacked up. Don't know what kind of weather we want to have, North Carolina. I'm going to grab my malt beverages with the blue ribbon on it and my delicious cigar from Godfather Cigars, and I am going to ease on out to the deck here where I'm nowhere near set up for tonight's show here in Atwell Manor and introduce my esteemed panel of one tonight. So we are playing Pop Culture Survivor this evening, which would be all right, because this young gentleman, I know him more than handle the job, my good brother to the north in Indianapolis, Tim, much obliged for you joining me this evening. How you doing, brother?
I'm doing wonderful. I'll go ahead and say I'm outstanding to supernatural and ecstatic to be here. Todd is on another hiatus, I guess, so I can steal his lines once again. I don't care. I'm outside. It's nice. We had some storms earlier. It's passed over. I finished the next step of the treehouse. I should actually post some pictures to the Facebook page in case anybody wanted to see it. I know I had mentioned putting some pictures, you know, on our little green room chat, but I don't know. It's fun to do. It's fun to show progress. You know, I'm sure I'm probably boring the hell out of a lot of people by sending them pics, but having fun doing that. So I'm probably going to mosey my way inside, even though it's getting to be pretty nice porch weather as it has been the last few weeks. But my phone's going to die, so I'm going to have to plug it in and hope that doesn't sever any kind of connection. So I might go mute for a while, because I know in the past it has happened to where once for some reason, if I get a low battery indicator, it somehow mutes me and I can't undo it without hanging up and calling back in. So hopefully I'll eliminate that. I'm looking forward to a good show. I did have a long trip, which we can go into detail later on since it's just you and I, but you know, I know you're well aware. I did make the trip to Chicago, pick up my wife from the airport at O'Hare. People there drive like it's basically like you're in a world or a movie about the end of the world and everyone's trying to escape. That's exactly what it's like. I mean, they're freaking maniacs. I thought we had maniacs here in Indianapolis on 465. That makes us look like we're doing some kind of a circus, you know, routine, whatever, around 465, just a bunch of clown cars. That's what it makes us look like. Because there in Chicago, they are like demons coming straight out of hell. I was going 70 and getting passed by people that were like, "What the hell are you doing, you grandpa? Get out of my way." So anyway, I'm back from that, recovering, still a little tired, but I'm looking forward to a good show. I think we got a good topic. I'm sure we'll go into several tangents, possibly, if it's just the two of us. Maybe Cheryl will join us later. But nonetheless, I'm looking forward to a good show, so I'll kick it back over to you.
Right on. Well, we just right up under the bill. There we go. So we got us another panel. Outstanding. Todd, what's going on, man?
Todd.
I know.
I stole your mind.
A weeknight from Indianapolis. I know. It's happy hump day, people. Hope everyone's doing well. I'm doing outstanding and supernatural. Ecstatic to be here. Heard a little bit about Tim's stuff from yesterday, but yeah, I don't know. It's all I know is I went through Chi-Town within the last year at Cheryl Dark 30 in the morning, and it just sucked.
Yep,
just mayhem.
Yeah,
it doesn't matter what
I'm telling you,
it.
Ted Knight couldn't have said it better about the way he described it. It sucks.
Yeah, it's but that's how you run a city, by gosh. Mayor Lightfoot is very dialed in. and totally inept in her role as mayor. That's why Chicago is a model city for all of us here in the United States.
It was a model long before her, so don't give her all the credit. They've had a long series of people to...
But right now she claims to have the biggest dick in Chicago. So I would dare say that she deserves at least some credit for the size of her genitalia, or those who claimed. We should all model our cities after Chicago. Hell to the yes. And maybe if we can't, maybe if we set the bar too high, maybe we should aspire to be more like Seattle, Portland, St. Louis, Philadelphia, perhaps.
Apparently the queue is hot tonight.
Yeah. That somebody else in the queue? I don't see anybody else.
Yeah.
I'm getting no word. Hang on. Gotcha. Tell them I'll be there in a sec. As
I slither
back into.
Will be there.
But yeah, we got one of the things. I know you mentioned one of the things you want to talk about, and I want to talk about how freaking fast is gas will go from morning to afternoon to the next day. Holy crap.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's really, and I think all of us, Tim, you might have been a little too far out on this one, but a lot of us remember the gas crunch that went on in the late 70s. It's amazing how much Biden's term is reflecting the Carter. It's funny how history is repeating itself, because all the stuff that happened in the 70s seems to be happening again now. But nevertheless, the gas lines back then were just, even as a kid, I wasn't driving, but I can recall the amount of stress that was on my parents. And, we would go back to D.C. to visit, and it was absolute chaos in D.C. And, you were having to, watch your car, because there were people going down through neighborhoods and siphoning gas out of cars at night and all this kind of shit. And it was crazy, the stuff that we were going through back then.
Well, there was definitely gas siphoning going on back then.
Oh, yeah. But before we go too far into the rabbit hole, want to introduce our good brother, Stro. What is up?
Hey, guys. Only in this podcast do I have to wait to get out of the queue. Only this podcast, that's where. But I digress.
Well, you got to quit being late for class. The bell rings.
I'm always late for class. If you let me in just like that, this podcast, I had to wait for the freaking Grand Central Station to come on. What's up with that? Oh, my good brother. Yeah, right. I feel the freaking love tonight.
I don't feel tardy.
Todd preaches every week now to be good to yourselves. Hug, big hugs. Take care. Yeah, I try to get on the podcast. We'll wait as soon as the commercial break comes in. But anywho.
And now we're
from it could have been somebody else doing the introduction that thinks it's the beginning of the show and they take 12 minutes for their introduction. So
are you referring to me, pal? I don't think so. I had sponsors I had to take. I have the commercials on my podcast.
Talking about that. You do the sponsor thing and all that. I get that. You have a regular thing you got to do, a routine. I'm tracking. I'm not talking about you at all.
All right, then.
He's taking a shot at me because it was still just me and Dave, so I was trying to stretch out my intro a little bit, do my good deed. That was a shot to me.
You gotta love it.
Don't even.
So before we get to going on, we can,
if you want to shoot, bang bang, I can shoot all night. Go ahead.
Oh,
I ain't playing that,
man.
I ain't playing that, pal.
good grief. It's not all about you.
Oh, really?
All right.
Really? Oh, yeah. Oh, it's like that. Okay. It's like that. Okay. If it like me, I'd wait forever to Sunday to get on the podcast.
Oh, man.
About me. I'd watch my words, pal.
Good grief.
Moving on to happier topics. We got Dr. John, by golly.
Oh, Jesus. Jesus, we had to go there.
Congratulations. Big congrats to him. He actually was on an episode of The Unexplained with William Shatner on the History Channel Wednesday night, or better yet, God, was it Wednesday night? It doesn't matter. It was on 9 o'clock. It was Mysteries of the Missing Link episode, and Dr. John actually looked pretty damn sharp on there and did a really
good
job.
I would hope so. I'd be disappointed if he didn't.
I was impressed. I think he did a fine job. So, yeah, it was pretty good to be sitting here, and then next thing you know, there's Dr. John in a nice sports coat sitting in a library with his little globe behind him, looks sharp as hell, and speaking on
about Bigfoot.
Some
big surprise.
He had one of those old Olin Mills drop downs to look like he was, you know, for the background, it looked like he was in the library.
That's a strong possibility. That's what that was. So, but he looked sharp, did real good, and couldn't have been happier for him, man. Good on him. So, a lot of those shows make people look like they wear tinfoil hats to bed and everything, but that wasn't actually a good episode where everybody kind of spoke on a level and had some intelligent conversation about things that I don't particularly think's real, but it kept my interest because it was well done. It was just well spoken, and so kudos to him. Well done. Wanted to congratulate him on a good show. I don't know if he's going to win an Emmy, but nevertheless, good to see one of our brothers out there on the small big screen, I guess you can call it. Or a big, small screen, depending on the size of TV you have, but nevertheless. So, moving on to tonight's topic. And Lord knows all of us do enough traveling around for one reason or another to kind of take this right in the gut. But the reason why I wanted to go on to this is more than just a raging pain in our ass. This gas crisis we got going on, I don't like calling it a crisis because it's not really a crisis.
Yeah, thanks, Todd, for raising the gas prices. Your own heart. Thanks, Todd.
You know what? That might as well be my fault, too. I'll take it.
Dadgummit. Damn you, Todd.
So it was manufactured. You know, I mean,
not
this is something we don't have
for.
To be going through at all. And thanks to our leadership, and you can blame the oil companies all day long. The same oil companies.
What leadership? What leadership?
Yeah,
Jesus.
Exactly.
We ain't got any.
But it was the same oil companies that owned oil and ran things when the oil or when the gas was $1.70. So I don't want to hear so much about the oil companies because the gas was $1.70 a gallon until we had a change in leadership, and from the moment he took office, the gas went up and never looked back. So the thing is, though, is that what kind of impact is this gas thing going to have on pop culture? Okay? How is this going to, down the road, is it going to affect it? I would dare say it's going to affect it negatively, but, you know, what are some kind of lasting effects you think we're going to feel in the whole pop culture realm, be it music, film, live performance, whatever?
$10 a gallon in California. $10 a gallon. Let that sink in.
No shit.
Yep.
Yeah, that's nuts, man. Never thought I'd live
long
enough.
That's why I know a common friend of ours, I can't blame him for having moved to Las Vegas from Cali. Can't blame him.
Uh-uh. No, I mean, it's California.
And even they were 5.25 last week. All right. My thought is, here's an example. I know, Bob Stroh, you do you call the ring at some of the shows, commentating for him, ring announcer, not ring announcer, but you're at some of the shows doing color commentary, right? And you go out to Newburn. Now,
that's one of
mind
the
you,
yeah.
that was Newburn, though, right? Where that usually is?
Well, yeah, regularly for their promotion, yeah. But I do for other promotions as well, yeah.
Right. Well, first, I got to say, that trip to Newburn ain't what it was 4 years ago.
Oh,
that
no.
New,
thank God.
That new 17, holy crap, that's a game changer. But, dude, that's still a bit of a drive. It's still some miles. When you make X amount of dollars to do something, and next thing you know, your cost in Y have increased, your net in Z ain't what it was. And that's,
yeah,
I mean, that's a better drive than it was. And do you still have the same set of wheels you had before? That I remember, the Buick?
No, I got a new one now. I sold it.
Okay.
I sold the other.
All right. Well, all I know is that, you know, at least that was not a gas guzzler.
Mm-hmm.
Was where I was going with that. But, man, you can't. It's getting rough on people to do those trips, and that's not a long trip. Papa Stroh does a lot of trips, puts some miles on the vehicle. You get I know for some of the filming, some of the projects you've done, they've not exactly been local for you.
Oh no. No, either you get one of those economy cars like John Travolta did in Be Cool, or which is smaller than small, or you learn to be a track star. Or learn to ride horseback.
Did you not? The Amish look like they got it going on about now, don't they?
Yeah. Because, I mean, even the little electrical deals that they're really trying to push, I mean, they're still pretty expensive.
Yeah. You know, the whole how much it costs to replace a battery and how often they got to be replaced.
Mm-hmm.
Your furs.
Yeah, my thing about the whole gasoline thing is that, you know, part of the grand scheme of the whole gas price going up is kind of like the argument about the Second Amendment. I think folks know that trying to get guns out of law-abiding gun owners' hands is going to be damn near impossible. Okay. So what do? They take a side route and they tax the daylights out of the ammunition and make the ammunition so scarce and unaffordable that it renders the gun useless. So we already know they want us pushing these electric cars. Which nifty thing about electric car is that to get the electricity you have to burn gas and coal.
It comes from somewhere.
Yeah, it's got to, yeah. So, nevertheless, first off, the electric cars, the starting price on an electric car is like $55,000. Okay? Then the batteries for these cars are so far back that if the battery bites the dust in this electric car, it's going to be useless because you can't. There's such a back order on the batteries. So what they're
trying to do, that's because they can't tear up enough of the earth to dig out the elements they need to make the batteries.
Right. And to dispose of the batteries, they got to dig that much.
Which they can't use electrical equipment to dig up the stuff for the batteries.
Yeah, that takes gas. God forbid. So what they're trying to do, though, the big thing is to eliminate the exhaust, eliminate the emissions. That's what I'm looking for, to eliminate that, right? So the first thing that people say a lot of times is, well, man, we're doing this. I'm not going to be able to go out. I'm just going to stay home. Okay, well, that's fine. And that's ultimately what they're trying to do. They're trying to keep you off the road by making the gas so unaffordable that you can't go anywhere. Same way with ammunition and the guns. The problem is the difference between a gun and a car is the fact that you have to have that car to get to work. Okay? And sure, there's public transit systems if you live in Atlanta, New York, and D.C., and Chicago, and all these places. But unless you live in a large city, I mean, hell, here in Jacksonville, we got, close to 200,000 people living in Onslow County, and there is a public transit system here that drops off in, three dozen different spots. And none of them are anywhere near any housing complexes. They're near all the shopping hubs and all that, so it isn't like catching a bus like you would think of in a bigger city. So what happens is, by running this gas up, the after effect, and like I said, everybody first goes to all the ancillary driving, saying, hey, I want to go to the beach, and I can't go to the beach. Hey, I want to go see my so-and-so friend 2 hours away, but I can't afford to do it. But what it's really starting to get to is the workforce. So when a guy can't get to work, because you figure right now, you got cashiers out there, and for folks out there that don't work in the retail or restaurant industry, a lot of times these cashiers get four-hour shifts. So if a cashier is making $10, $12 an hour, let's highball it and say $12 an hour. That's
let's say 15 because that was a big push.
Okay. So let's do 15. So that's $60.
And they wanted that when petrol was $1.80 a gallon.
True.
Buck
Very
80.
True. So you've got a... $60.
It was just a couple years ago.
20% of that for payroll tax, which would be $12. All right, and if it costs you $10 to drive round trip to work, which isn't hard to ask, it's 2 gallons of gas. You know, when you really break it down, that cashier ain't making any more than about $35. And that's at $15 an hour. I can tell you around here, $12 an hour is highballing it in this area. So what happens is when these people go to work, they go to work, they get their check, and the check is, say, $300. But then they go to fill their car up. And it takes $100 to fill their car up, and they have to do that once a week to get to work to make that $300. So to get to work to bring home a robust $100, you see what I'm getting at? So what's happening is, for the pop culture side of things, that little bit they got left over, they got to spend on groceries. Which are doing what right now, thanks to gas? They're
Let me tell you what was, I kid you not, I would tell you it's not a real big stretch. I don't know about y'all, but I could go and spend 60 to 80 And that, now it's coming up to 150, 160.
That's crazy.
So you want my take on it, what you were talking about pop culture, and that's the main, you know, topic as far as what it's affecting. So if you remember correctly, we had all these prices increase, you know, back when this kind of happened, however many years ago it was. Now, I'm not talking about 70s, but just, you know, within like the last 10, 20 years or so. And you had, you know, companies would start increasing. They'd make you, whereas they used to not pay for shipping, you know, they start making you pay because they were hurting on the gas, whatever, blah, blah, blah. I think in this day and age now, throw into the mix, you have a lot of people that are making side cash, or heck, I don't know, maybe they're doing it full time. I'm not real sure, but you have a lot of people that are just doing Uber, and they're doing like the Uber Eats or
DoorDash or whatnot.
Yeah, DoorDash. DoorDash is the one I was thinking of. So when the gas prices go up, eventually, you know, one of two things is going to happen. Either people are going to stop doing that because it's no longer going to pay out as well because they're just burning money in gas, or, well, that will happen, and then it's either going to force, you know, you're basically, those companies are going to start to go under because they don't have any employees, or, I mean, I guess that's the one result right there. It's because it would be a ripple effect. So, you know, I mean, somehow I feel that's going to be affected in some way, shape, or form. That or they're going to start increasing the prices. I guess that's the other route. But at that point, then
they're
going to stop doing it.
But let me ask you guys. See, I don't know if any of you, I will now and again here at the apartment, outdoor dash. I'll also do it now and again, take care of mom, that kind of stuff. But I found myself adjusting the tip as stuff is going up. And I'm like, man, if somebody's doing one of these drives, I'm so conscious about how far from where the order has to be picked up to where it has to be dropped off. I was anyways, but I'm even more almost hyper-focused on that crap, and I'm still increasing the tip because I'm also thinking, look, if they're spending a half an hour of their time to do it, I'm hoping their tip will be, you know, an equivalent good half hour of time and help with the petrol. But now a half hour of pay ain't helping with the petrol. So now the tip goes up.
Well, you guys must be reading my mind because I was just speaking to a guy that
he says it like it's a difficult thing to do.
That, but he does the DoorDash stuff. Well, he was, and now he's doing the Instacart stuff, right? So I asked him, I says, so you're doing this now too? And he goes, I had to give up the DoorDash, man. And I said, no kidding, huh? I said, just wasn't worth it. He says it was, but the problem he's running into is, as you alluded to, no matter where you're at, I don't like, take for instance myself, the closest restaurant, the closest fast food place to where I'm at is the Hardee's, which is still a 2 mile leap, right? But it's on the map, it's 2 miles worth of driving, but I can tell you it probably takes me 10 minutes to drive those 2 miles because you get hung up at that light at West Park. That's a 3.5 minute cycle light. Then you get up there, and you're sitting in front of the damn speaker, and then you finally hear the voice. Welcome to wherever. I take your order. You make the order out. Then you sit in front of the window and wait for some ghost to come up there and hand you your bag. Despite the fact that it's a 4 mile round trip to the Hardee's and back to my house, it's easy to be gone for a half hour to do that.
Yeah.
Very easy. So what he was saying is that on a good day, if everything is falling into place, which rarely ever does when you talk about Jacksonville traffic, I could knock out 2 gigs in 1 hour. He said the problem is, though, if you have somebody who doesn't tip, which happens more often than And why do people not tip? Now, going against what Todd said, Todd is making a very good point because Todd makes a cognitive effort and is conscious of that inflationary percentage increase, so he increases his tip. But there are some people out there that, unfortunately, speaking like that cashier we were just talking about, doesn't have the tip. And perhaps her heart is breaking because she can't afford the gas to go get the chow and has to do the DoorDash. Therefore, she can't afford the tip either. So what's happening to this guy is that any money he's making, he's spending on gas because DoorDash can't keep up the algorithm, the pay algorithm, with the way the gas is going up and down and up and down and up and down every day. Let's face it, they can't, like, if you do any traveling for your job, they'll usually offer you, okay, it's 55 cents a mile. But when gas goes up 50 cents in a matter of 2 days, there isn't enough time to adjust that. You're going to lose somehow or another. So what he was saying,
you
is
know
that
what?
DoorDash,
that is interesting that you say that because there's the Joint Forces Travel Regs, which is a government travel regs. That used to have like a, it had a myriad of changes for a myriad of reasons, and they would happen many, many times a year. So it wasn't a big shock to get 40, 50 changes a year to it. I wonder what the petrol cost is on that, because roughly the last 2 years, we have watched petrol increase nearly $4 a gallon.
Yes, sir.
Right? Here locally, we probably sat at best $1.95 to $2.05. Would that be fair, Tim?
Yeah.
Maybe, you know, it might have been just under $2. Might have been a wee bit over. Not horrible. But I saw this morning, I think the cheapest I saw was 5.25. It was actually 5.26. They aren't even playing the 5.24.9. They're doing the 5.25.9. So it's 5.26.
I think I was around 5.70 yesterday when I had to fill up before going to Chicago.
Good
and I
job.
Thought I was going to be helping myself out.
Good grief.
Yeah, I thought I was going to be helping myself out because I waited till I got on I-65 on, you know, going way, way up there, and I stopped. I think I was close to Frankfurt. Maybe that's why. I don't know, because it seemed comparable to Chicago, and I kept thinking to myself, maybe my eyes were, maybe I didn't have my glasses on and I didn't see that, because there's no way that in northern Indiana, out in nowhere, they're matching the damn price that's being advertised up in Chicago. But I'm pretty sure that's what I paid, and I know I saw signs up in the Chicago area for $5.75, I think it was, maybe $5.79.
Lord. Yeah, because, yep. Here in town, the guys, it's insane, because I know they're not getting two trucks a day in the gas stations, and that price is jumping twice a day.
Right. Yeah, it's the same gas in the tank, but they're getting calls from corporate. Because, I mean, you remember we used to do it at Sam's all the time. We'd get those gas calls twice a day. And it's all a competitive thing that they do at a corporate office. And it's done regionally and it's done nationally, yak, yak, yak. But, yeah, I mean, it's crazy. And, you know, going back to the DoorDash thing, he was telling me that the algorithm for DoorDash hasn't kept up. So he, the money that was his, air quotes, wage for driving, and the tip was gravy on the potatoes. Now he's actually having to use the wage to cover the gas, and if they don't tip, he's basically working for free. And when I say he's working for free, he's actually working in the negative now because he's putting wear and tear on his car, he's spending his time, yak, 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 yak. And, you know, God forbid he goes up there with a damn $24 worth of damn Burger King and somebody doesn't answer the door. Guess what? His day is shot. So, you know, he said he had to get out of it. He said at least ways with the Instacart that it's geared differently and it's not so much dependent on travel, so to speak. You know, when somebody sits down and does an Instacart order, they've taken a half hour to put that thing together and they're expecting those groceries, whereas some drunk ass says, hey, I'm going to order some Taco Bell, and he orders it, goes and passes out. Nobody knows. But Stro, I'm gonna throw a scenario out there at you because I'd like to get your insight. So, speaking on the pop culture side of things, all right. So, we're gonna throw a wrestling event, all right. And
oh, naturally, okay.
Because you got to have a wrestling event, right? So we got to have the wrestling.
Oh God,
event.
Yeah, because yeah. Well, let me guess, because I'm a wrestler.
And you are a wrestler. That's right. So what happens is...
Among many other things, you think wrestling. Go ahead.
We know that.
Todd, good question. Let him continue.
So what they do is we throw the event, okay?
Right.
But yet there's people who don't... Okay, let's just say we threw an event, right? And we had an attendance of, hypothetically, 2,500 people... In the thing, whatever. We're just going to use 2,500. But because of the gas, those same 2,500 people really want to go, but only 2,000 of them can show up. Okay? Not because they don't want to go there, not because there was a bad show, not because it was, you know, a failing effort. Because they could not afford the gas to get to the damn venue to watch the wrestling. How does that affect? Now, we know that affects concession, of course, because then out of the 2,000 people that are there in that crowd, how many of them just barely got there? In other words, hey, we could spend the money getting there and back, but we ain't got no money for T-shirts. We ain't got no money for Coca-Cola. We ain't got no money for anything but the gas up and back. Okay, so that affects you personally as a wrestler from the merchandise sales. So behind the scenes, do you guys a lot of times, do you have a preset wage that you have already written in stone that it's the promoter's job to find the money no matter what the attendance is? Or do you guys work off a percentage? So when you go out there and you see empty seats, you go, oh, shit. How does that work on your end?
Well, if you're smart, you have a fee. I mean, it all depends on how you get booked. I mean, because some of these people just go in there blindly and then it's like, it's foolish. It really is. It's foolish. It's just because they want to, quote-unquote, wrestle. I mean, look, I learned a long time ago, man. It goes like this. I mean, you can have friends. You can have money, and if you already got friends, you might as well make money, right? So when it comes
right.
to an event like that, if you don't have your game plan set in stone, booking wise, then I mean it's just like it's real risky at that, you know. Because hoping a crowd will come, we can get paid. I mean that's not happening. So I mean, and especially with your audience coming in, some of them are family members of the wrestlers that are part of the show, so you have to factor that in, on top of family members of crew and production. So I'll go factor that in as well. So it's a lot of times part of your audience is just already members of family of who comes in, talent wise and production crew and performance wise. So
there's not a whole lot of revenue coming from them to start with because.
Well, you'd be lucky
Maybe you buy the merchandise when you got a whole house full of it, right? So what happens, the reason why I'm going to throw...
Unless they're fans
the
of the show,
thing,
you know what I mean?
Yeah. But the reason why I wanted to do this is because this kind of transcends into other things, be it live music or live stage or movies or whatever. So what happens is, and now, Stro, you said you usually have a set fee. You have a preset fee. So then it's the promoters cross the bear to find the money. Okay?
Right.
So first off, it kind of a two-prong question on this. First off, let's say that you, when you're done, you go to the house, and because of the gas is more expensive on your end for your travel to wherever the venue's at, regardless of what the fee you put out there, again, you can't really adjust your fee fast enough to keep up with the fluctuating price of gas, right? So it gets to a point where you look at the map and you go, you know what? I really can't afford to drive that far out. So you call the promoter up, and the promoter's, you know, pretty much counting on you to be there for the fights, and you call them up and go, hey, yeah, just staying in the cards. And the next thing you know, he gets another phone call, and it's another wrestler going, hey, you know, really want to be there, but this gas, you know, because you guys don't get the gas any cheaper than the people in the stands, right? So, you know, the same could be said. Go ahead.
That's why you got to figure that out beforehand before you even get there. Because if they can't cover your travel, then it's not worth your time. Like, there's a certain mileage rate I have where I'll drive, where I'll ask for a flight there and back.
Oh, because really?
How far it is on the distance, yeah. And if you know, and if they can't cover you, and it, either way, they can't cover your driving, they can't cover your flying, then no, forget it. You know, move on to the next one.
And you're out. Right.
So what about this little spin on it? So for the set, well, no, never mind. I'm not going to say that. I won't go into the whole, let's do this for the second half of the show. But I am going to put this little spin on it. Let's consider it from the pros. So because even look at what happened in the pandemic, okay? Big, huge crisis, you know, everyone, I mean, all kinds of garbage, whatever. But you had a lot of positive things come out of it. So look at this and think about who might actually benefit from this. I don't know crap about cars, okay? I know absolutely nothing about cars. But I do know that electric cars, whether we like it or not, are gaining popularity. And I'm curious as though if there's going to be a surge in sales on the electric or hybrid or whatever type of vehicles. And I'm going to throw this out there, and it's kind of why it came to me anyway. Like I said, I think all of you know my wife, she was in Norway for about a week, a little over a week. And she was telling me that over there, and I'm not going to try to turn this into an all environmental whatever, you know, topic, but over there, they're like really green. And the cars there, a lot of them are, I don't know if it was all, I don't want to say that, but whatever area they were in, it was mainly they saw electric cars, you know. So I'm just curious if we could expect something like that here for those that are out shopping and like, man, I'm not paying this crap. Like, I have no idea what it costs to charge those things. I don't know the availability of the charge stations. I don't know if there's any type of dilemmas going on with that kind of crap. But to me, this would seem as though maybe it could tip the scales a little bit. And the last time when prices went up and diesel fuel skyrocketed, I know of a dude, and he was all about trying to show off and have his toys, and he bought a Hummer and then had to turn right back around and sell it because he was like, I can't afford to fill it up with gas. So just curious if that's one of the, you know, one of the industries that's going to actually boom through all this.
Well, it's funny you say that. Tesla himself said, I'm looking at having to make cuts. And it's not like he doesn't know something about electric vehicles. I'm just saying, but he know that's on the opposite side of your thought process.
Hmm.
And to kind of pick that apart, if you think about Norway is such a different beast. socially, economically, geographically. I mean, Norway's about the size of Florida. Okay, so
something like that, yeah.
You've got that in play. You don't have sure, there's going to be a wage disparity, but it's not like it is here in the United States. Not to mention the fact that you've got, you know, all the things you throw into it, race, religion, wealth that we deal with here every day in the United States. There's a lot. That's why it kind of pisses me off when I hear politicians going, well, you know, over there in Luxembourg, they don't have a problem with the national health care. Well, goddamn, Luxembourg is the size of Onslow County. Yeah, no shit, Sherlock. When you're talking about a country of 380 million people, how do you get them all in electric cars? How do you tear out every goddamn Scotchman and replace it with an electric plug-in station? You know,
well,
what I mean?
Part of that's on the Scotchman to adjust.
But you understand my meaning. It's the great undertaking with 380 million people living in the United States versus like in Norway, however in the hell. I mean, goddamn, if you live in Norway, you're probably getting eaten by polar bears every day any damn way. But
stuff like that. The fact that they eat reindeer, like they raise reindeer like we raise cattle, but that's a whole other thing.
It's a completely different. I mean, yeah, and I in no way will try to compare. I was just saying that's how it came to my head because she was just telling me about all the electric cars over there. So. And they don't even, and again, not to go off on a tangent here, but they don't even, like, it's wild because I'm pretty sure that most of their stuff comes from places like, hell, I don't know, Germany. What's Tesla? Where's that from? I don't know. But Norway, they don't even really, like, that's part of why it's a damn green is because they're not building the shit there. They're getting the stuff from other countries, you know? Their main thing is they, what they tell me, they export, a lot of it is sheep farming. That's what, like, most of it is, at least in the area that they were at. It's all sheep farming. And so, you know, I'm assuming there's some kind of a trade going on to where they export that and, you know, import everything else. But you don't see, like, factories and all that. It was mostly countryside. So, but no, I was just curious if maybe, you know, there's some kind of a trend that would start. I don't know. Todd seemed to mention that that's not the case, and Tesla's actually trying to make cuts. So I don't know, but at least it's something to think about. I mean, would there be anything that will actually thrive with this? Because I don't care what it is, what topic it is, there's always a yin and a yang. Whatever, if there's something great going on, somebody's going to suffer from it. If there's something real bad going on, somebody's going to turn lemons to lemonade, you know? So I'm just curious, who's going to come out on top here and take advantage of this whole situation?
Yeah, because, I mean, take, for instance, like here in Onslow County. Let's just say, hypothetically, that I roll over in bed tomorrow morning and I go, you know what? I'm full of shit. I am not going to drive another gasoline-powered car as long as I live. And let's just say I have the income where I could call up tomorrow morning and say, I want a fully charged electric car in my driveway by noon this afternoon because, by God, I'm not driving anything with gasoline in anymore. Shit on gasoline. I'm all electric. So, Todd, Stroh, both of you guys have spent enough time in Onslow County. Do you guys know of any place that I could charge an electric car in Onslow County?
Not a fan.
I mean, they get, obviously, there's got to be something somewhere because there's been enough Prius around forever, but...
Gotta get out of
there. Yeah, I don't know how they.
So
I don't know how the home stations work. Now I know here down, we're probably talking about two total different types of surroundings, whatever. But Todd can tell you. At least I think you've probably seen them. They've got stations downtown. Indianapolis is trying to, they're doing their best to try to keep up with, you know, the rest of whatever, even though we got homeless people peeing on you when you walk to the work building and not so forth. But they've got charging stations. Yeah, they got charging stations there. But so, yeah, I'm not real sure, you know, overall, like if that trend is, you know, because all that's got to cost money, you know, and you can't just take a leap and do it. So I don't know about that. Now, here's another twist. And again, I'm going to throw it out there. I don't know crap about cars. You guys can make fun of me, do whatever you want. But I've seen these pretty slick little vehicles. They're like, they're basically three wheels, but they're more like a car than they are like a motorcycle. The two wheels are in front. The one is in back. They look
like
they've
been around a while.
They are freaking slick. I don't know if those things, and they may not be electric, they might be gas, but I'm curious what the miles of the gallon are. And they're actually pretty cheap from what I've heard. But, you know, you got to think you don't have much storage space, and I don't think they've got any tops to them. You're basically just, you know, hoping you don't get rained on. But whoever makes those, maybe their sales go up. I don't know.
You know, but that's the thing with this whole electric car gig is that the ability to the ability to convert, you know, it's got to be there for me to be able to be part of the plan, if you understand my meaning. It's one of those things where I can't just put it to you this way. Let's just say, in another hypothetical, if you could make sure that there is no crime in Onslow County, then I don't have to worry about having a gun. But until I feel like I don't have to defend my house from predators, be it human or damn on all fours, I need to have a firearm in my house for self-defense. So, again, it's another one of those things where it's not, no matter what your good intention might be, if the opportunity is not there to convert, and again, when they're $55,000 a piece starting out, okay, how many Burger King associates are going to be able to buy these things? How many Walmart associates are going to be able to buy these things? None. I don't give a shit what nobody says. They're going to be able to do that. Not now and not later. Because by the time those people at Walmart are making a competitive wage, those electric cars will be $90,000 instead of $55,000. You know what I mean? So, you know, the lower class is always chasing the shit. Always chasing it. So, and really, to tell you the truth, you say lower class, the middle class might as well be lower class now as it is because, you know, could you imagine? You know, I hear these families that got 5, 6 kids and a trip to McDonald's sets them back $150. I've been hearing stories about this shit, and I'm like, huh? Could you imagine dumping 150 skins at a McDonald's? Jumping Jesus. That's unsaid. Sorry. So going back to the pop culture thing, though, is that how bad will it get when the rank-and-file Joes of the world, the people just like us, can't afford to drive to the movie theater, can't afford to drive to wherever to go see a concert, a wrestling event, a con, a baseball game. So what happens? You know what I mean? Does everything just shut down and everybody just turns into a damn drone and just stares at the sky and waits for the damn lights to turn out? Because what happens is, as we were alluding to earlier, regardless of your ability to perform as a singer or an actor or an artist or whatever, if the asses aren't in the seats, you ain't going to survive, right? But when we say that you're not putting asses in seats, that is usually a reference to somebody who doesn't have a talent. If I say, hey, I have a band.
It's different
I have now. A band.
I'm with you.
Exactly. Now it's a different thing. When there's no asses in the seats, it might not be your talent that's to blame. It's the damn gas price that won't allow your fans who want to come see you to afford to drive to the venue to see you. So what happens to you? Before you know it, you no longer have a check. So, you know, you got to look at this shit from a bigger picture. It's more than just you getting pissed at the gas pump. What happens when this gas goes to a point where these truck drivers finally throw their hands up and say, shit on this, and they quit driving the trucks? And now your ability to get canned corn, your ability to get a paper towel, your ability to get diapers, your ability to get some macaroni and cheese has been vastly limited. Not because we can't make it, not because we got hit by a damn asteroid, but because nobody's getting it to the stores. I mean, it's so far out there that, you know, I don't think people a lot of times look at the big picture behind this thing, man. There's a lot of rippling-ass effect that could come to this shit if we don't get our arms around.
All right. Hey, guys. We've been talking gas prices a lot all night, and I'm laughing. The guy we all know, Chaz Moretti, posted a photo of gas prices up in Chicago area.
Uh-huh.
He says it's at Taylor and the Dan Ryan Expressway. Diesel was cheaper than regular by 20 cents.
No shit.
Mind you. So diesel was $6.30. And regular was $6.50.
God.
He just posted it. He said he took the picture this afternoon. So the regular silver and ultimate, as this place is calling it, $6.50, $6.90, and $7.30. And diesel was $6.30. And just for the record, that's the first time that I've seen diesel the way it should be since it goes through less processing steps.
Correct.
Even if they make less of it, I get it. But
yeah, I never understood that when diesel went higher than unleaded gas. I never could understand the idea behind that. With the exception of it being some nefarious plan to eliminate trucks. It's just, it's so far out there, and to me it bothers me that, and if y'all are waiting for these politicians to really get worried about it, keep in mind, as I often joke here on the show, LeBron James doesn't mow his own yard. So, you know, if you were to take Taylor Swift out there and ask her to damn start a lawnmower, she probably couldn't do it because she's probably never mowed a damn yard since maybe she was 8. But nevertheless, you know, the people in Washington that are making these calls, do you honestly think any of them drive? Hell no. They get driven. It's somebody else's problem to worry about putting gas in the damn car. It's not theirs. You got John Kerry flying around in a damn jet talking about damn environmental damn issues, and it's like, huh?
Not a jet, a private jet.
A private jet, no less. Correct. Yeah, he ain't flying, Coach. And, yes, boys and girls, jet fuel does cause emissions, just in case you were wondering. It just, if you're waiting for those guys to give a damn, it's not going to be there. And it's scary stuff, man. So, to go further with the pop culture thing, imagine being in a world where we can't turn the TV on and watch a baseball game. Imagine they have to shrink up a baseball season to accommodate the economic backlash of the gas. Imagine regional. In other words, we no longer have the New York Jets flying to play the Los Angeles Rams anymore. The New York Jets will only play the Giants, the Pittsburgh Steelers, the Ravens, you know, the localized teams.
The Colts can just beat themselves.
Yeah, along with the Panthers. But, you know, to think about that is scary. Think about not being able to go to a concert because there's none available. You know, think about there only being 5 to 10 movies made a year.
Well, let's go with this. Just a thought on the pop culture events. So many of them had become like virtual signing events, virtual photographs and all that. That started with COVID. I expect that crap to continue. Thoughts?
Yeah, I'm not a big fan of this whole virtual shit. I guess it's because, you know, I'm in my 50s, but it's kind of like books. I understand there's people out there that say, you know, hey, I'm an avid reader. I've read over 1,000 books. Imagine 1,000 books in your house. It would take over the house, right? So you've got your little Kindle or you've got your whatever, and you read on a tablet. I could smell that, okay? But when it comes down to, like, if you're an autograph collector, you know, how do I get William Shatner's autograph on a Zoom meeting? How do
Ask
I
John.
Get that on my wall?
Ask Dr. John.
He's perfecting space
his,
travel. So we might be able to hit him.
You get his electronic signature.
Yeah, so what do you do with that electronic signature? I mean, do you print it out and hang it on your wall?
How will that value work in the future?
Right.
Into this unique period of time?
And speaking on cons, I can tell you, you're talking about COVID, where everybody, you know, we went for 2 years with no cons. The amount of excitement that was going on in XCon 2 weeks ago, you could feel it. These people were worked the hell up. They were tickled to death to be back at a con again. They were like, hell yeah, we're back at it. You know, there's an excitement there. There's a desire for that stuff. So what happens when you can't hold the cons because you can't afford to pay the guests to come out there and sign the autographs? To make the appearances. You can't take a selfie on a Zoom meeting. You can't do it. And I don't know. For me, it's just one of those things where, you know, and we've all done it. I mean, how many of you guys been to a hockey game? I'm all alone here.
Get the fuck out of here.
Yeah, I've been one.
Yeah. Okay, if you've ever been to a hockey game, it's a totally different experience. I don't give a shit what nobody says. You watch hockey on TV, it's fantastic. You watch hockey live, it'll change your life. It is absolutely amazing. Okay? Baseball. All right? Now, it's a little harder to do in the major league parks, but when you go to a minor league ballpark and you go to a noon game and you can smell the grass that they just cut, you can't get that on TV. Imagine that's taken away from you, not because the ball team sucks or nobody likes the ball team, but it's taken away from you because of the fact that nobody can afford to go to the games. Right? I mean, it's just the amount. Look at, like, WWE Raw, for Christ's sake. The amount of financial liability. Do what?
Do we have to?
But, I mean, think about the amount of equipment that they set up and they take down at every show they do. You know, all that stuff. Now, it ain't just setting up the ring. You've got the Titantron. You've got the lighting. You've got all that stuff. And it has to be hauled back and forth to all the events and all the venues. So if they're not getting people in the seats because they can't afford to get to the stadiums, how can they afford to hump the damn equipment around to throw the show? So now, Monday night, where you always, 9 o'clock, pile up in front of the TV and religiously watch Monday Night Raw, you can't do it anymore because the gasoline's run them out. You know, you watch these big sweeping epics on TV. You watch Game of Thrones. That shit wasn't done for free. Those people have to travel to these different locations. The equipment has to travel to the different locations with them. And if they've got no revenue to start with, guess what? They just ain't going to do it. So you go home and you watch goddamn Test Pattern. You know what I mean? It just, I don't know. For me, it's just the big picture is scarier than hell.
What are the big farm equipment, like farm machines? What do those things run on?
Oh, gosh.
Huh.
I would figure diesel, wouldn't they? That's just a guess.
I think that's a lot of them.
Because, I mean, that's one thing right there. Man, farmers. I can't imagine the toll that's taken to keep. Because, man, I don't know about down there, but up here, and I don't know if it would really classify as pop culture, but still, farming is, agriculture is still a part of Indiana. It will be until we're finally going to burn it out because we're stupid idiots and we just keep building crappy ass monopoly looking homes, cookie cutter homes all the way out and tear down wooded areas. But anyway, for the time being, Westfield still has a few farms, and I've seen, we're right next to one, and the equipment they have is massive. I mean, we're talking, they have several machines, they're massive, and I can't imagine the amount of gas, because those things are out there in the field. That dude will be out there plowing. He'll start, sometime in the morning, whatever, and he'll be out there till night. He's running that thing hours of the day. So it'd be like the equivalent of a semi-truck driver, going across the country or whatnot, however long it takes him to do that. So I can't imagine what it's doing to them. I mean, would they just have to increase the whatever crop it is they're farming? Probably got to increase the price for it.
Easy. That's if they could actually get it. And here's another long big picture thing. How do those farmers afford those huge combines? Government subsidy.
Right.
How does
right.
the government get the funds for the subsidies? Through tax revenue. How can they get the tax revenue? Through your payroll taxes because you're working. Well, if you can't drive to work because the gas is so expensive and you quit, and you become a dependent of the U.S. government, guess what? You're not putting anything in. Therefore, it limits the amount of revenue they've got to give to these farmers. I mean, it's just so far out.
Well,
there,
let me tell you, when I was in Kansas on recruiting duty, there were piece tracts of land that farmers were paid not to farm, that they ended up, some would allow public hunting, others would lease it for hunting, for the bird hunting in Kansas. Just saying.
Oh, really? No kidding.
Yeah.
I had never.
Well,
yeah,
they were paid not to farm stuff. They talked about another subsidy.
Yeah, I guess that makes sense. But, you know, if the farming isn't successful, now you're paying $3 for a goddamn cucumber. You know what I mean? Because it goes back to social studies, supply and demand. And if the supply ain't there, the demand goes up.
Why do I imagine more women will be buying those than guys?
I knew it. I knew Todd wasn't going to let that go. I absolutely knew it.
They'll just wait till the fall and get some of those gourds because they got the knots for extra pleasure.
Oh, jeez.
And you got some of those gourds with the curve. It's got like the Peyronie's thing going on. I feel for that Peyronie guy, man. I mean, what's your claim to fame? Well, you know, they named Curve Jimmy's after me. That's why, yeah. Good stuff.
Curve Jimmy. Yeah, now they got commercials about it all over the place.
Yeah. I knew we couldn't go a show without a good couple day and yell ding-a-ling jokes in there, so ladies and gentlemen, this dick joke was brought to you by Peyronie's disease. Check us out on Peyronie's.com.
Not to be confused with the Zamboni. That's a whole other issue.
Those are
powered.
I was going to say, they take gas, so.
Yeah, we can no longer smooth the ice out in between periods. We can only do it one time a game because of the gas. How the hell was Rocky ever supposed to hook up with Adrian if you didn't have the Zamboni driver there? I mean, think about all the things that fall back on the Zamboni. Wasn't it Billy Madison? Wasn't it Billy Madison where he took, or was it, God, which Adam Sandler flick was it when they went to the skating rink?
I think it might have been, man, I know what you're talking about. Isn't that the one where they sang My Endless Love? I thought that was Big Daddy, though.
Yeah.
Was it Big Daddy?
I can't remember. But that was funnier than shit because the Zamboni driver was singing Endless Love.
I think it was Big Daddy. Because then he was
maybe
like, if I make this shot, he's like, if I make this shot, I get to kiss you. Or no, something like that. I don't know. I can't remember. But I'm pretty sure it was Big Daddy.
Yeah, it probably was, now I think about it. Because that was the one where he was dating the kind of strawberry blonde chick.
Yeah. She was Hooters girl's sister. Hooters.
That's right. I could wipe my own ass.
That movie's got a ton of one-liners. I love that movie.
Yes. Hip-hop anonymous. He always gets the easy ones. Oh, yeah.
We wait for the good surprise on you.
That was one of the last
Uncle
good
Remus.
Adam Sandler flicks. All the way up to this Uncut Gems. If you haven't watched that Uncut Gems yet, I strongly suggest. I know it's been on Netflix for about a year now, but you want to talk about Tent? That movie will give you an absolute buzz from watching it. It is so freaking intense of a movie. From the very beginning to the end. I mean, have any of you guys seen that yet? Where he plays the...
What is it again?
Uncut Gem. He plays a jeweler in New York.
I have not seen that.
Oh, God. Dude, oh, my God. Well, I'll give you a quick synopsis of it, but I'm not going to tell you anything about it because it's just, it's incredible watching this thing. But what he is that he is a jewelry gem dealer type guy there in New York, or perhaps Boston, better yet. And he gets this particular gem that he bought through the black market from South Africa or wherever the hell they were digging it up. And so he buys it on sketchy terms to start with. He gets it. Kevin Garnett, and this is set back when the Celtics had Kevin Garnett and who was it? Oh, come on, Dave. Ray Allen and who was the other one? Perkins? Anyhow, Garnett comes to his jewelry store to buy some bling, and Adam Sandler shows him this gem that he got, and it has so many different facets in it. Garnett kind of falls head over heels for this thing, and he said, hey, I can feel the good luck of this thing. Let me borrow it to this game because the playoffs are coming up. Well, it kind of goes from there, but Adam Sandler, his character is a compulsive gambler, just a real compulsive personality guy. And, I mean, from the minute you turn it on, the pace of that movie, by the time you're done watching it, you almost have to catch your breath. It's absolutely incredible from the first second to the last second when the credit rolls. It's probably one of the better flicks I've seen in quite some time. And like I said, it's been out for a year. But it's Adam Sandler not playing a jackass. Well, you see, he is a jackass in the movie, but he's not playing a goofball like he does in a lot of other stuff. It's pretty intense. But with all that said, we're getting that quarter fill thing, and it looks as if our gas conversation has, wait for it, run out of gas.
Did it? Oh, I thought you were going to say you passed the gas.
Ah, well, that's been happening a couple times out here, too, but hopefully it didn't pick up on the broadcast. But I figure I'd go ahead and pass it around the room. And we might actually make it to four extra innings tonight. I will be damned.
Nice.
And I still got a little cigar left. Nevertheless,
I need the bedtime.
As always, I'm going to kick it over to the busiest guy on the show, our good brother, Papa Stroh. What kind of stuff you got going on, young man?
Yeah, I wish I could share with you the young part, but, oh, gosh, I'm feeling it every day. But
yeah, not talking about your knees. Yeah.
Tomorrow night, WCW Retro and VOCNation.com, 9 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. We'll be discussing and talking about the career of the American Dream, Dusty Rhodes, the late American Dream, Dusty Rhodes. So if you got any cool Dusty stories, you know, feel free to call in. Friday night, the Stroh Zone at midnight Eastern Standard Time on my Facebook page, facebook.com/StrohTheMaestro. Friday night's feature, rather, will be The Phantom 10,000 Leagues from back in the day. So please tune in.
Wow, nice. Outstanding. Stroh, is definitely good to have you aboard. Appreciate the assist tonight and everything. Man, I got to get together with you and hand off some very important paperwork to you. I think you know what I'm talking about. And
I believe
somehow,
I do.
get the stars to align, and we'll be able to cross paths, and that way we can do the handoff and everything. So
okay.
What I'm speaking of, folks, I will tackle during my parting shot, but nevertheless, yeah, we got to hook up so I can hand that off to you, brother.
All right.
But definitely good to have you aboard this evening. As always, man, stay safe this week. And hey, how's your mom doing? She doing better?
All right, day by day.
Yeah, I understand.
Nice.
Well, give her our best.
As rest of the family and me included, I guess.
Yeah, I hear you. Yeah, it's it ain't easy right now. Tough times. It's something to behold, getting kind of scary, but we just got to hang in there and keep getting it. The minute we give up, you know, then it just gets worse. But, yeah, definitely good to have you aboard this evening. Appreciate you joining us, man.
Thanks.
So, I haven't called you the alpaca rancher yet tonight, Tim, so let me go ahead and break the ice on that. What kind of party shots have you got this evening, bro?
I wish that alpacas made a cool noise, you know, so every time that you said that, it would cue me in and I could make a weird noise. But unfortunately, like, the only noise that alpacas do, they kind of whine. So they just go, so you probably don't want me doing
that. Just like you.
Yeah. There you go, Todd. Nice. Nice one. Glad I could hook you up there. But, I don't have anything going on. I'm going to finish up the week. I still got a day to go back in the office. I'm going to continue to work on the treehouse this weekend, probably build part of the fence, hang out with the wife. She's back in town this weekend, so just business as usual around here. I wish everybody well, and have a good week.
Outstanding. Yeah, I sure do appreciate you joining us this evening. We ended up having some, about 3 minutes in, I was like, told Tim, I was like, man, I think it's just me and you tonight. We got this. But we were lucky enough to have Todd and Stro join us this evening, so we made it through, man. I appreciate you joining us this evening, Tim.
Thank you, sir. Glad to be
Absolutely.
Here.
Absolutely. So, Todd, talk to me. What you got?
Man, a million things back at work and the grind, that kind of thing. Despite spending 2 weeks in the salubrious weather of eastern North Carolina, could not wedge in more than I did. Sorry to those that I didn't make it out to and get together with and things like that. It just, good grief. I mean, still end up working about 3.5-4 days of the leave, but that's what it is. Look, y'all are don't know I can do it without y'all. It's I need y'all to keep me balanced, whether I agree, disagree. Need those alternate perspectives. Keep them coming. Thanks, team. And despite... Oh, man, somebody's kitty's being fussy. The
Yeah, man. Cat fight.
The I heard tree frogs all through the call, and I was thinking, man, the tree frogs are rocking it. So somebody got some rain if the tree frogs are rocking and rolling that way.
Yeah, that would be me. It's like, damn, a symphony, except they're not jumping out of the ditch going, everybody do the Michigan rag. They're actually croaking and shit, so it's not as fun.
Or they could be the ones from Flushed Away. Those were, man, I may have to watch it. Flushed Away was actually kind of fun. The the French frogs, when they all put their arms up and surrender, cracked me up. Just wanted to say, hey, everybody be safe. Take care. Big hugs.
Outstanding. Outstanding. Yeah, I sure do appreciate you joining us this evening. Good conversation. Pretty deep stuff with the gas and everything. And, yeah, I mean, it's something to think about. And, again, it's when you're this November, when, and it's even happening now, you have primaries and that kind of stuff going on. It's not about who you like. It's about who's going to get the job done. Either there's
or
emotional
who you dislike, as the case may be. A thought. With the gas prices going up, do we invest in Beano or not?
Hell, might not be able to get it if they can't get it to the stores, right? So, you know.
Just a thought.
I just assume have a president that would walk up there and stand there in the Oval Office and the State of the Union address. He says, first thing I want to say is that every guy named Dave who has the first initial starting with an A is a punk and a jackass and a dweeb. But if that guy is able to get gas to $1.65 a gallon, I'm good with that. Because it's more than just me. You understand what I'm saying in this world? And if you don't, air quotes, like something, hey, there's a lot of things. I don't like the fact that my joints hurt every damn night. But I roll with it. And anything I can do to get a good quality of life, that's what I'm shooting for. So even if it's stuff that I don't like having, stuff that I don't like doing, then by God, if I got to do it to make my life better in the long run, shit on it. I'm doing it that way. So think about that come November when you're going into the damn Board of Elections. Not about your feelings. It's about your business. And what is your business? How you pay your rent. How you pay your lights. How you get your kids back and forth to school. So anyhow, Todd, very much appreciative of your assistance tonight, sir. Appreciate you joining us. And on my parting shots, a couple things. First off, again, congratulations to Dr. John for his appearance on the Unexplained William Shatner on the History Channel. Pretty damn cool to see our good friend and Bigfoot chaser, if you will, on the big screen and everything. Kudos to him. As always, The Hunger series on Amazon by yours truly. Check it out. Worthy of a read. I've got some stuff in the hopper coming up that might be going on within the next 6 months.
Now, when you say the hopper, clarify.
Well, it's not frog talk, but new releases and stuff happening with the old releases. How's that?
I don't want to be too
cryptic, but on the flip side, I don't like about, you know, it's you're not putting out till I'm putting in. So I don't like talking about things unless I have it right here in my hand. So, you know, because until it happens, it's just talk. So I'd rather have it here and say, here, look at it. But, yeah. Got some things that we're working on behind the scenes here, and maybe, just maybe, this will work out. And if it works out, then I ain't going to worry about the gas no more because somebody's going to be picking my ass up and driving me around with any luck at all. But nevertheless, thanks, British Lady. The Hunger series by Dave Atwell on Amazon.com. Now, lastly, the most important news. We have put into cement, and I have the posters not in my hand. They are in the house as we speak, but February 4th, and I know it sounds far away, but hell, we're already in June right now, kids.
Yep.
February 4th, here in Onslow County, the Sturgeon Center, downtown Jacksonville, 11,000 square feet of room for the returning Jacksonville Comic Con, starring absolutely none other than our brother Papa Stroh. So Stro will definitely be there. I will definitely be there. And we are currently loading up on guest vendors and artists and the like to join us. And really looking forward to it. When we went ahead and went public, because, you know, I told Dr. John, I says, you know, I don't like doing things. And again, going back to what I just said, I don't like telling people, hey, why don't we have a picnic Saturday, unless I already have everything in a basket as we speak. You know what I mean? Because it's one of those things that the minute you say it, your name is on the line. You know what I mean? Your word.
I'm there. I'm there.
So I don't like saying, hey, yeah, we're going to do something in October, and I don't even have the first iota of it planned. But we have the venue set. The money is down. The posters are printed, and things are in motion. So we went ahead and went forward on the Facebook page, and I'll be damned if that thing didn't blow right on up. People liking it, people asking questions, people spreading it around. Stro was kind enough to post it on there and got a lot of looks on his post and everything. So I think this show's really going to come around and do us a lot of good. So we'll be promoting that more as the time permits and things get closer to February. But nevertheless, for those of us who have to ask for time off like 3 years in advance, February 4th, 2020, and it's a one-day event, and in the event this thing goes off like we're hoping it does, perhaps it may be a Sunday, Saturday, Sunday event next time we do it. So, anywho, looking for everybody to come out there and join us. More news as it comes available, and really looking forward to it. And there's two other locations. We are sniffing around right now, and there's a possibility we may be having a little bit of event action going on there, too. It's just kind of not wanting to overwhelm ourselves right to start with and, you know, ease back into the old con scene, as the case may be. So, but looking forward to that, and then hopefully we'll have some more news on the Grand Strand Con. Now, Stro, you still with us? I don't know. Stro's already left. Stro might have dropped. I haven't gotten any.
I'm here. Yeah.
Have you gotten any solid dates on the Grand Strand show yet?
I know it's in November.
Yeah, same here. I haven't gotten a day.
Okay. I can find that for you real quick. Hang on for a second.
Oh, really? Yeah, if you could pull that up by chance. I'm out here with the frogs, but...
All right, let me try to get this up, dude.
Cool, I appreciate that. I'm figuring it's
going
to be...
Well, I'm just glad it's not you that's croaking, Dave.
Not yet, leastways. Knock on wood.
Yeah.
Well, the Grand Strand Con in Myrtle Beach will be, I would imagine, the front side of November, because, as you all know, the middle backside of November is Thanksgiving, so that wouldn't be the best of times to throw one. But going off the excitement, what we saw there at XCon, I can't help but think this Grand Strand Con is going to kick just as much ass, if not more. So if you're in or around the Myrtle Beach area, and folks here in Onslow County, if you're listening, that Leland Bypass is open and is the best thing that's happened travel-wise. I mean, the good old days of driving through Dixon and Hampstead and Holly Ridge and all them little speed traps down 17, cutting through Wilmington and all that crap, you don't have to do it anymore. You go down 53 to Burgall, you jump on I-140. 140 takes you all the way to Shalote. And then you just take...
Well, I wish I knew that last week.
Oh, Christ. You didn't take that route?
No.
Did you do the Hampstead thing?
Oh, I went through the town. Although going through Holly Ridge, it was good to see that the old barbecue place got back to a barbecue place in new hands that had been, where the old stuff goes.
Yeah.
It was good to see that. So maybe there in Holly Ridge, it's kind of cool to see a decent new barbecue place come back. It was no longer an antique shop.
Yeah, because it had been a little bit of everything after that one place shut down. But yeah, I mean, getting to Myrtle Beach now, I live here in Southwest Onslow, and I can tell you, I can make it from here to Broadway and the beach in 2 hours flat. And
really?
In the event you're wondering, Broadway or the beach in proximity to the convention center, it is walking distance. So if you're here in Onslow County, again, even if you're, say, Swansboro side of Onslow County, you can still get to Myrtle in 2.5 hours flat with that Leland bypass. So by all means, look into the Grand Strand Con coming up in November. Then, of course, I'm sure X-Con will be going on again following next May. And get down there and support it, man. And, you know, hopefully somehow lightning will strike and gas will be $8 a gallon by then. But nevertheless, just one of those
November
things.
26th and 27th.
No
November.
Kidding. It's on the backside, huh? Damn.
Yeah.
All right.
Man, it's got to be close to Thanksgiving.
Yeah, that's got to be real. That's almost got to be Thanksgiving weekend, I would think. Or is it the third Thursday? Because Thanksgiving's another moving target. That one's one that you never can get on the same day twice. Wow, 26th, 27th. Well, nevertheless, well, there you go. Thank you, Stroh, for looking that up. I appreciate that. November 26th, 27th, Grand Strand Con. Now, Stroh, are you still on that site? Is it still in the same spot right there at the convention center?
Yes, the Myrtle Beach Convention Center.
Ah, awesome. Okay, well, that's good. I was kind of concerned that it might move a little bit and go like the North Myrtle Beach, because if it goes into North Myrtle Beach, that's chaos. Jesus, I wouldn't wish that place on anybody. Yeah, outstanding. Okay, so there we go, boys and girls. Grand Strand Con, November 26th, 27th, Myrtle Beach Convention Center. As I just spoke, 2 hours from my house, not to say come to my house as a launch point, but nevertheless, yeah, that's freaking awesome. Appreciate you looking that up, brother, very much. So with all that being said, appreciate everybody joining us this evening. I'm going to go on in there and go into Atwell Manor here, cut things off, and I think I might come out here and fight the bugs for a couple more minutes to finish my cigar out, and then I will retire for the evening, as we have a busy day tomorrow because we're still playing Dave's House Blows Up 2022 edition. When I got back from XCon, I don't know if I told you guys, the washer drain had backed up and puked stuff all over my laundry room floor. And somehow it meets up with my kitchen sink. So any food particles that was in the kitchen drain under the house and whatever had barfed up in my laundry room. So I had to get that pumped out last week, which was a couple hundred bucks. And then last night, the heat pump decided to give out on us. So I have to tackle that fun stuff tomorrow. Hopefully it'll be just a Freon shot and move on about my business. Hopefully it won't be a five-digit change to the house, but we shall see. But nevertheless, yeah, exciting times here at the old homestead. But I am going to ease in there, cue in that old salty British lady, and put an end to the broadcast. Gentlemen, I sure appreciate your assistance this evening. Oh, gosh. And
over to the laptop. Hopefully I still have some internet. Thank you, Spectrum Internet, for never holding up. Yep, the Spectrum Internet is out. So while we wait for the salty British lady and my internet to come back up, see if I can end this thing without the internet. We're going to try. So thanks again for joining us this evening, Pop Culture Stars. Appreciate you. Everybody joining. Everybody be safe. Try to hang in there best we can, all right? Talk to you guys next week. Have a good evening.
Later, all. Big hugs.
Let's see here if I can get her to cue in. British lady, where are you? Oh, there she is, maybe. Come on, British lady. You know you want it. Come on.